552 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Top Cow Thursday episode. It's also a Top Cow Chronology episode. I'm going to be talking about Devil's Reign, Chapter 4. For those not familiar, Devil's Reign was a intercompany crossover between Marvel and Top Cow back in the 90s. And the basic story is Mephisto discovered the Top Cow universe, discovered that in the Top Cow universe there wasn't a counterpart for himself, as opposed to the Marvel universe where there were other kind of gods of the underworld, Hela and such, that he was constantly competing with over the souls of the dead. And he discovers the Top Cow universe, there's no one there that's really harvesting the souls or drawing power from the souls like he would back in the Marvel universe. So he decides to create a beachhead there and basically take over that realm. And there have been various heroes from the Top Cow universe and the Marvel universe that are aware of what Mephisto is doing and are trying to stop him. So as I said, this is chapter 4 of that crossover, and it's Ballistic and Wolverine. So I'll talk about that in just a second, but first, for those not familiar with what the Top Cow chronology is, I always wanted to read the Top Cow artifact corner of their universe. That's the corner that has Witchblade and Darkness and Magdalena, that kind of thing, partly because I'd always... You know, it was in my wheelhouse of when I was reading comics growing up, but for some reason I never picked it up. And this was despite the fact that Witchblade was drawn originally by my favorite comic artist of all time, Michael Turner. So I had this giant omnibus for Witchblade. I think it was like the first 50 or 60 issues all collected in one. And I had never gotten around to reading it. And then one day I stumbled across on the Comic Vine website this reading order for the Top Cow Artifact Universe, and I thought, hey, why not dive in, right? And what's really cool about this reading order that was put together by a user that goes by the name of Condor, it's a chronological reading order, and what I mean by that is the earliest books in the reading order take place the furthest back in the past, so like ancient Egypt, and then it moves forward through time. So the first books in the reading order aren't the first books that Top Cow published, right? Because when they first started publishing Witchblade, it was 1995, and it was set in present day 1995. So the fact that they established these ideas, these artifacts, such as the Witchblade and the Darkness, as these mystical artifacts that had been around for a long time, it introduced the legacy aspect of these artifacts, and the fact that other bearers had used them and had worn them throughout time. So it opens up a lot more fertile ground for storytelling, and it also allows you to go back to the past from really any period of time in human history and tell stories of these artifacts. So we have been doing the chronology now for, 5 years, I guess. And we're honestly not that far through it. We started off the podcast as the Top Cow Chronology Project and then eventually transitioned into a more general comic book podcast. But I do still want to read this stuff. I do want to get through it someday, but it's just a matter of finding time, because there are a huge number of you who would much rather hear about modern stuff, the stuff that's just coming out, the stuff that you're picking up on the stands, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it is always a good idea to go back and look at some of this classic stuff. Some of it's not classic in the way that maybe a Stanley Jack Kirby Fantastic Four run might be, or Jerry Conway, John Romita Sr. on Spider-Man kind of thing. It's classic in a different way, but still definitely worth reading. It's a little bit of its time. So if you want to check out the chronology and know what order to read this stuff in, There's a link in the show notes that shows you where you can go to check the chronology out on the Comic Vine website. Also, give you an idea if you want to read some of the stuff. It's not really that expensive. You can find it in a lot of it is collected in trades, especially the Witchblade stuff and the Darkness stuff. Otherwise, you can find it in, you know, dollar bins and on eBay, relatively inexpensive as well. I haven't in the past. I used to look up on eBay the books that I was covering just out of curiosity, but I haven't done that in a long time. It wouldn't surprise me if you could maybe find like a lot that has like all the Devil's Reign stuff in it as, you know, one relatively inexpensive buy, and then you don't have to. That's the thing about eBay. You don't have to. Hopefully, if you find it a big bundle, you only have to pay shipping for one thing, right? Like if you were to buy all, whatever it is, like 8-10 books that make up the Devil's Reign crossover, and then you're paying like $3 or $4 each for shipping, I mean, you're already at like over $30. And I don't know that these books are really worth that. I think most of them can probably be found in dollar bins. That being said, they are fun to read, even though they are a little bit dated. And the art has been pretty spectacular throughout. I mean, we've had like Billy Tan. The issue I'm talking about today has Joe Benitez. So there's been some really, really great artists. So this particular issue, the Ballistic Wolverine issue, is written by Larry Hama. Pencils and co-plot by Joe Benitez. We've got inks by Aaron Sode. Colors by Dean White. Letters by Dennis Heisler, and the cover is by Benitez, Soud, and White. So, as I mentioned, Mephisto's come to the Top Cow dimension. He's bent on acquiring souls to make himself more powerful in this new dimension, and New York is where he's basing himself, and he's trying to gather followers and trying to become more powerful. Meanwhile, Ballistic is looking for Cyberforce's leader, Heatwave, who's disappeared in this madness. And she previously had been teamed up with Ghost Rider, but in this issue, she finds herself teamed up with Wolverine. Wolverine is in our version of Times Square. And apparently he was summoned by his lawyer from Landau, Luckman, and Lake. And he, based on the urgency of the message, he heads there immediately. And apparently, Landau, Luckman, and Lake are interdimensional lawyers. So Logan has dealt with them in the past and understands that there's a certain level of wackiness and cosmicness that goes with being a client of this law firm. So he goes in to find his particular lawyer, because she had summoned him and said it was urgent. He walks through what turns out to be kind of a dimensional portal, a warp chamber, if you will. He ends up in the Top Cow universe in Times Square. He's being attacked by the quote-unquote mayor's forces, who look to be there maybe gathering souls, and maybe the mayor of Mephisto. We're not really sure at this point. So, and Logan at this point has his bone claws rather than the metal adamantium claws. So he is a little less formidable. The bone claws aren't, you know, nearly as sharp. They're not as good at cutting. They're much more of a stabbing weapon. So through some use of technology, these armored, basically law enforcement officers of the mayor kind of get the drop on Logan. And as he's kind of regrouping and about to pull himself together, all of a sudden there's a bunch of shots fired and basically everybody's laying dead on the ground around his feet. And come to find out, it's Ballistic. And, you know, we know her kind of, for lack of a better term, mutant power is to never miss a shot, right? She's kind of like Bullseye in that way. So her and Logan talk it over. They decide to team up after comparing notes. And it seems that this mayor person is actually Heatwave. So previously a hero, previously the leader of Cyberforce. And Ballistic really wants to know what's going on. So they head to the headquarters of the mayor. And sure enough, the missing lawyer is there as well. And Logan attempts to rescue her, but she's been brainwashed. So there's somewhat of a pitched battle between Logan and Ballistic, fighting not only Heatwave, but also a bunch of those law enforcement officers, and even Zoe, the lawyer herself, who's been given some special abilities, even though she's been kind of brainwashed and taken over by Heatwave. So Logan and Ballistic are eventually able to be successful in the fight. They're pretty much on the ropes, and it's not clear who might win. But then Zoe's able to break free of the programming, and she's the one that actually takes out the mayor. And meanwhile, we find out that below, even though it's New Year's Eve, and all these revelers had been in Times Square to watch the ball drop, all of a sudden, before the stroke of midnight, they all disappear. And what our heroes suspect is that Mephisto has swept them all away to hell, probably to have them suffer so he can, you know, gain power over them. And on the last page, we get a full page splash of Sarah Pazzini, the bearer of the Witchblade, with Mephisto in the background, and he's saying, beautiful. Now, Miss Sarah Pazzini, it's your turn. And we're getting Wolverine Witchblade next. So an interesting team up, and one that I feel is very fertile. We just get the one team up here of Wolverine and Witchblade. So I don't necessarily think that all the story they could have told, they did tell. So I don't know that Wolverine would be as interesting to team up with the current bearer of the Witchblade. Her look is so different, whereas I feel like the look of the Sarah Pazzini Witchblade and the way the Witchblade itself manifests itself for her seems like a natural fit with Wolverine. So, well, that's it for the kind of Top Cow chronology portion of the podcast. As I said, the story is not going to win any awards, and it's not super memorable. It is a little bit of its time, but it is really fun. And great artwork by Joe Benitez. When you see work like this, you can understand just how he's been so enduring for so long and just how incredibly talented he is. And I'll also give a shout out to the colorist, Dean White, because the colors on this are really, really done extremely well. It would be far too easy to fall into a brighter palette, I should say, because those tend to feel a little more superheroic. And even though this sort of is a superhero comic, it's also, I don't want to say horror, but kind of suspense. It's not, you know, it's not capes and tights. And so using a little bit darker of a color palette certainly works in this instance. All right. The only other thing that I wanted to mention, because it's Top Cow Thursday, is I did finish the Aphrodite 4-issue miniseries from Brian Hill and Jeff Spokes. It just came out yesterday as I'm releasing this on Top Cow Thursday. Part 4 of the miniseries just came out yesterday, October 17th. And I just wanted to say that it didn't end as neatly as I expected. I kind of expected a little more answers. Instead, we got what certainly is a conclusion and an ending, and satisfying one at that, to the story that Brian Edward Hill has been telling. But it also left a lot open there to do more with this version of Aphrodite. So I would like more. This the last issue had a lot of dialogue-free boxes and panels when we get to the final confrontation between Aphrodite and Basilisk. So even though I'd read it, I feel like I need to go back through and almost do like an art read through and just really dive deep into the art and the panels to understand what's happening. It's not to say it's hard to tell or Jeff Spokes' art is in any way lacking. It's he's been incredibly consistent throughout. The color work especially helps to set the mood and the tone and the time period I think him and Brian are going for. So kudos to all involved. I definitely need to read it again. Probably sit down and read all four of them back to back to back to back, and then give you my thoughts again in a little more detail. But as I said, it just barely came out, so I don't want to talk about it too much in detail because I want to be sure that you guys all get a chance to read it before I talk about it in detail. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank everybody for joining as always. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms as well as at lrmonline.com. And while you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes as well as follow all our convention coverage. Last show I'll be out for this year is Comic-Con LA, coming up the last weekend in October, so hope to see you there. Once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.